Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Every promise in the book is mine. I stand on it. I claim it. And I will live by it in Jesus' name. Now hold up your sword. This is my sword. It's a weapon against the enemy. Contained herein is my destiny. I'm not only a hearer, but I'm a doer of the word. There's a word for me today. I want to say that again. There's a word for me today. I'm ready to receive it. I'm alert. And I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Psalm 90, verse 14 and 17. And let me just tell you, it's working, folks. So say it out loud together. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. As I said, and we will continue, and I'll reinforce it today, that 2016 is a year of grace and mercy. Our platform verses as we've been using is Exodus 33, 18 through 20. So crucial as to what's going on today. And then along with that, Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 20. And Moses said, this is on Mount Sinai, please show me your glory. Then the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to minister on that verse coming up soon. I will make all my goodness, glory, goodness, pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. How many of you know that when we proclaim the name of the Lord, that's awesome things happen. In fact, I'm going to share more. But when the Lord proclaims the name of the Lord, I mean, something happens. So all of these things coming together. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, my prayer is that understanding will flood your heart and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for his followers. It is the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from death and let him sit at the right side, his right side in heaven. Say that last portion together. Lord, show us your glory. Father, we thank you again. That's been your purpose and your plan all along. And for those who are looking for it, you're going to reveal. Thank you, Lord, for the stirring within our hearts about what is unfolding. Thank you that you declare the word, declare what's going to happen before it happens, so that those who have an ear can hear, can see, and can take part of what you're doing. And that's what we're posturing to do. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. From whom all blessings flow. I am not sure how many people had the opportunity, as Ann was sharing, to watch the call yesterday. But it was exciting to be able to see, first of all, that our prayers and all the prayers that have been spoken forth, prayed for, fasted for, that the Colosseum was filled with probably over 50,000 people, Christians, just calling out for revival in 30 countries around the world, things that were going on, which is underlining the fact, and this is what We saw many of our friends that facilitated the area, facilitated yesterday, and they had, they're friends of us. They've been here at Celebration, and it was wonderful to see a confirmation. I've been saying for the last year that we are on the throes of a mighty move of God. And I said, which was wonderfully confirmed, I love it when they hear what I hear, or I hear what they hear, and that the major, next major move, how many people have heard that I said is going to be evangelism? How many people have heard that I said it's going to be a demonstration of the power of God through the saints? And yesterday, for 15 hours, which I believe this particular, the call yesterday was a launching pad or opening up the heavenlies. And there is, I'm going to share some things with you today that will show you that God really still conforms to a system. He does things methodically, that word. And what happens with that, it's just rearranging the different details and ingredients in it. But there's processes that he works through, things that need to take place before things can take place. So I'm going to be sharing more about that in just a moment. I said, and this is what's happening, many of you heard the understanding of feeling, and you'll hear it if you get the chance to watch it, and I encourage you to do it. All of the things, reconciliation through the, from the Indians to the blacks, to the Hispanics, to the Catholics, all coming and presenting themselves before the Lord, forgiving one another and asking for forgiveness to a step so that, you know, God does not work outside of unity. The enemy, that you've heard the principle, divide and conquer. Well, what happens, divide and cause powerlessness. So what happens now, as the enemy has tried everything he possibly can to cause there to be a division. In the last 8 years, my friends, I don't know if you've noticed it, we have never seen such a divided America ever. That, you know, I've been around for a while, but the races and the rich and the poor and. There is a spirit of division in this place, and I believe that it's been motivated for a purpose. The reason being, not only is that because, for whatever reasons, political reasons or whatever, but there's a spirit that brings division that holds back the power and the anointing of the Lord. When there is division, God cannot move. When there is unity and reconciliation, God can move. That's why it is absolutely essential. And one of the things they worked on yesterday was forgiveness. And, you know, we're coming as Christians and as church saying, Lord, bless this place. And Scripture says something very important. It says that if you have something against your brother and you're bringing your offering, he said, stop. Stop. If you have something against your brother, put your offering down because I don't want to talk with you. Now, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Don't come to me trying to ask for my provision. I'll give you my mercy because my mercy endures forever. But don't try and ask for my grace to be released upon you if you have division in your ranks. I don't care what it is. He says, put down your offering, go and reconcile with your brother or whatever area that needs to be reconciled. And there's many ways of doing that. And the way that you're supposed to be reconciled is the way the Lord wants you to be reconciled. There are some people I'll get into that later, but listen to the overall view. Then after you have been reconciled or done your part, then come back and pick up the offering and come and bring it to me. Now that's why division is so much a part of the enemy's plan. So in that process, we're recognizing that all these things that have been going on to pit the Christian against the Muslim and to pit the blacks against the whites and the Hispanic against everybody or whatever, that's been a part of an established or an underground plan of the enemy to keep this nation, especially the church, neutralized. And it's not just them, it's us. And God, as we're saying and been saying, God needs us. And yesterday they were prophesied many times, and I've heard this for many, many, many years, and I agree with it 100%, that there will be stadiums like yesterday that are filled with Christians and non-Christian to hear the gospel, to see the power of God, and to see the and to receive the anointing of the Lord. And that's going to happen. I've heard that prophecy that it was coming for 25, 30 years. There has been a division that has, in these last times, when we get close, then the enemy comes in like a flood. And what we have experienced these last years has been that spirit that has literally tied God's hands. So what we have to recognize, let me go back with that one statement. I do not believe, and I am totally in for stadium ministry. I've done it. I love it. It's fantastic. But we are not going to be able to get all of this nation into stadiums, right? We're not going to be able to get America, all of America, into stadiums. What stadiums are for, and what is going to be unfolding, is that, and let me just use this word, impregnating, okay, of the new people, and a empowering to those who are Christians to see things from a perspective of realizing what the times and the seasons are, that we might step up and recognize that God is pouring out His Spirit. And yesterday there were confirmations over and over and over again. And I say, and I believe very strongly, that what's going to precede the proclamation of the gospel, two things, and I'll share with that in just a moment, but one of them is going to be a demonstration of God's power. For those who are going to watch, you're going to see one of the ministries that God has graciously given to me is a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. And I'd use that in counseling, and that's why I like counseling. Just what's the answer God? There it is. Go for it. But yesterday, it was amazing. You'll see a person that not whose ministry is the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And just to give you one little thing, here we are, 50,000 people, and he's a humble guy, just a regular guy. And Bill Johnson, a friend of ours who pastors Bethel, he said, I'm going to bring my friend in to be able to deal with, I want you to share something. And he says, he works in the word of knowledge, word of wisdom ministry, and he's got his phone here, and he starts saying, is there a Lauren and a Bob here in the 50,000 people? And he said, here we are, way back in the back or off to the side. John, Peter, Billy, do these people mean anything to you? Yeah, they're our kids. Well, do you live at such and such in whatever street? Yes, I do. Well, God says that He loves you, He cares for you, there's whatever it might have been. And He did that four or five times. And what that is what I've been saying. First of all, that's really cool, isn't it? I mean, after 50,000, maybe 60,000 people, God, and a number of those who are in ministry and called to ministry, He called out their name. And the reason why, he said, the reason why I'm telling you this is that to let everyone know how much God loves you and how much He is involved in your life. And that makes you feel good. It really does. I mean, just to put your have somebody tap you on the shoulder and say, let me just tell you this about yourself. Now, that wasn't for just the mystical woo kind of thing. What it was, as I said, to show us that God can really move in the miraculous. And also, I believe very strongly that is what, here's this guy, I'll tell you, I don't know how many people were absolutely taken up by that ministry that he did, but I guarantee you there was a whole lot of them, and especially those ones whose name he called. And here he is, just a regular guy, nothing special at all. But somehow or another, for whatever situation, he said, Lord, I'm available. And that's the way it's going to be in the days ahead. Jesus, as you've heard me said, always preceded the gospel by doing two things. The first thing, I'll minister in just a moment, but the second thing was the release of signs and wonders, which are just natural to the Lord. But what it did was to get people's attention. And that is what I'm saying. When we see these things, when we begin to see what's happening in the world today, we realize that God's about ready to pour out his Spirit, at least in direct proportion to the amount of the evil and the darkness that we see. But that's not what the Lord said. It's over the amount to defeat the powers of the enemy. Now, as we've been talking about this, there is a confidence that we are to have. What we are dealing with here is the whole process is the Lord is preparing to equipping the church for the unfolding plan of revival. That's what they were saying yesterday. And I know in my spirit, I have had the, because of age, as I say, the privilege of going through three major moves of the Lord. And I was just at the tail end of the Jesus movement that we're talking about, when all the hippies, I mean, when you look back at the beginning of the Jesus movement, that was debauchery. I mean, they were coming right off of the drug culture in the 60s. It was just absolutely a mess. Everybody, don't make war, make love. LSD, everything, I mean, incredible. The incredible debauchery that was going on. And when the Lord sees these kind of things, and there are people that are crying out, he steps in to divert and to stop the movings of the enemy. Now, we can say there's a number of things. In the charismatic renewal that happened in the mid-70s, there was such a separation of the denominations. There was such a, I mean, there was, even though we were the Christian church, we were absolutely divided. Another thing that happened. Another division ploy of the enemy. Now, you're hearing some things like that most people, it's not that they won't preach it, it's just a different agenda. God has told us to prepare for what's going to happen in the days ahead. And as I've said before, and for you who have been with me during the other renewal, I want to be, not what people, what I don't want to be there, I don't want to get there and see what Jesus did. I don't want to hear what Jesus did. I don't want to see what Jesus did. I want to be there when he's doing it. Amen. And that's a wonderful because what you're doing, and if you saw this last, you watched yesterday, it is, I mean, they had some type of a schedule, but it was just go with the flow. Just see what the Holy Spirit would do. And in that situation there, there was an understanding that before Jesus ministered, there was a release of the Spirit of God. When you go into the charismatic renewal, I said, divisions within the church. What happened? God poured out his Spirit on all denominations. I mean, the Catholics receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Lutherans receive the baptism. The Episcopal receive the fact of all places. He started it with an Episcopalian priest, Dennis and Rita Bennett. Wonderful people. Had a chance of meeting with them. And it was through the Episcopal, which is basically the Church of England, that was started in a division from the Catholics. Division, division, division. That's why the enemy wants to attack the family. Separate the husband and wife, he gets the children too. In the process of that, then the next renewal thing was the renewal. And the renewal came because God was sick and tired with the church doing nothing but religion. It was God didn't have to show up. He didn't have to show. We were doing our thing. Nice churches, nice music, chandeliers, nice carpet, wonderful atmosphere, and it was fantastic. And God says, I'm not in this place. And in order, just like he did in the temple, just like he did, the reason why, by the way, I'll back up, the reason why Jesus came when he came, when all that I can understand in my pea brain, was there was a, I'm making an educated guess from experience, there was such a what's the best word I'm thinking, a literally maligning of the truth of the relationship with God and the people of Israel. It had literally become so legalistic, so hierarchical, that Jesus said to those, the priests, you guys are whitewashed tombs. How can the blind lead the blind? So he steps back in the midst of a downward spiral, just like he, throughout the ages, he steps in and begins to move by his Spirit, anointing his Spirit to be released, so that those who have an ear, who want to get back into the correct view and understanding of the Lord, each one of those things, what happened with the renewal that we went through and that the nation went through, around the world went through, is what God was saying, I want to break down the structures, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to confine me, and I don't want to be confined. And that meant, Holy Spirit, you are in control of this place. And for those pastors, I've told you that we are shepherds, and some of us are control things, because what we don't want things to be out of order, and we don't want the enemy to enter in and all that kind of stuff. So what we do is we shepherd the sheep, and sometimes what we do is we keep them in a corral when God says, let them run free. And that's very scary for a pastor. But God said to me, I'm going this way, which way are you going? And I said, I'm going that way. He said, come on. And you all know what happened. It was a wonderful experience. It was a scary experience. It's an experience that once you have experienced it, you can't go back to church as regular, as normal. Because once you've tasted of the, not just the sweet presence of the Lord, which is part of it, but once you've experienced the love of God for his people and for your neighbors and for your church members and for those who are seeking, and you watch God touch them and change their lives, there is a revelation of the Lord that it's absolutely amazing. I've had people come in our church and during the renewal time that have anything to do with it, said, this can't possibly be of God. And I said, why? He says, because people are laughing. I mean, we just sit back, and all of a sudden I'd be talking and preaching. People just start laughing, just all over the congregation. And other people around would go, well, I said, relax. Relax. It's amazing how when people laugh, the Bible says that a merry heart does what? Good like medicine. And most people say, I mean, if someone were crying in church, and they cried too, by the way, as they were crying in church, that's okay, we understand, it's okay to cry. Well, I believe that not only is it okay to cry in church, it's okay to laugh in church. And it was amazing how, it's like God popped the cork. And it would just like, and literally just like pressures and depression and everything just went, oh, I feel like I've been set free. So God moves in mysterious ways. And for people who don't want to hear, what we do is say, be still. This is, brother, sister, just cool it now. Just be still now. And what happens, what you do, it's called quenching the Holy Spirit. And if he says, if I'm not welcome in this place, then I... Now, he doesn't do things super weird all the time, but he'll do things to as much as he can to be able to reveal to you if you have any parameters that you are saying, so far, God, and no more. And the Lord says, I'm pressing back. If you want to see the signs and the wonders which will bring revival, then you have to allow me to move freely in the midst of your presence. And I want to use you. Going back to my original statement, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when we see Romans, when we see the debauchery through the whole process, and then all the things that I've just explained in the other, that's when God begins to move. And my situation, I mean, what I say, what we have been seeing in these years is a, well, I'll get into that in just a moment. How many people are tracking so far? All right? Renewal that God is, and I believe not only renewal, but revival. What we're going through right now is renew. We're renewing the church, allowing the Holy Spirit to come and to rest on and say, Lord, now get our thinking correctly. Because there's always, remember folks, and this is where we lose a lot of people, in between time there is a season. And I talked about that yesterday. There's a season between a revival, renewal to the next thing. If it were back to back, it'd kill us. But God never releases information and revelation and anointing without giving the opportunity to make that a part of our lives. What happened to me before and us, many here, and those that have been with us, that renewal was a whole new thing to us. It was a completely different experience. To sit all of a sudden be worshiping for an hour and a half. It just, I mean, God's presence, and I've told you, so strong that when I would get up on the platform, I would be on my knees. I could not speak. There are many times when I started to go up on the platform looking at my schedule, and the Lord said, sit back down. And we would bring these people from these major ministries. Some were there yesterday. And we'd fly them out, and we'd have scheduled Friday and Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. And we'd bring them out and whatever. And we'd be sitting on the front row right now, and the worship, the presence of the Lord would come. And I would turn to Bobby Connor or some of these other people, and I said, I'm not breaking this. He said, they would say, don't you dare, Pastor. I said, you're liable to not be on tonight. He said, she said, that's okay with us. We love this. There are very few places, and I say with pride, which it comes before a blessing. Very few places where the presence of God was as strong that we have in celebration. And many of you can attest to that. Well, the Lord has promised me, and that's why I want you to pray for our worship team. They're starting to meet on a regular basis now with rehearsals and stuff. We're praying. My prayer is that we'll start adding musicians. We're going to bring live music. In the meantime, we'll do what we can. But I want you to pray for our worship team. I want you to pray for the musicians that will be added. I want you to pray. We had practice in at our house on Sunday night, and it was just absolutely fantastic. Just the freedom to be able to move. So pray. Worship is a key. If you remember, for those who are watching, before anything took place, worship took place yesterday. It establishes the presence of God. It shows and it tells God that He is welcomed in this place. So when you're not in a congregation and you turn on worship or you worship, then what you're saying, Lord, in the midst of my car going from point A to point B, I am asking you to invade, or in your house, your room, whatever it might be, your prayer closet, Lord, I'm welcoming you here and I worship you. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the thing you do first. I worship you. It sensitizes you. It washes you. It focuses you. And it literally begins to infill you. Anybody experience that kind of? Amen. Amen. Essentials for ministry that we looked at. We looked at the anointing. We looked at the purpose for the anointing. And I can't go back over that. We also looked at the keys to receiving the anointing and why it's so important today. Also, we looked at the results or our response to the anointing. And then last time we began how to release the anointing in your ministry. Now, as you remember, there is a calling, and they talked about that yesterday too, a calling, a ministry, and a destiny. They're all interwoven. So if you understand that principles, and those listening online, if you understand those principles, then you recognize that to get to your destiny, you got to work it through your calling and your ministry. And we continue how to release the anointing to minister to others. We say your position in Christ, establish your position in Christ. That's ask for that special anointing that we said. Acknowledge by faith the anointing that you've been given. Ask the person what areas for help they need from the Lord. And we've got messages on this and previous online previous messages. Lead the person to a personal relationship with Christ. Call on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, bind the spirit of the enemy. And that's where we stopped. And today, next, what I want to do is something that is extremely important to where we are today. And I want to underline this as a part of the equipping process. I told you two things that always happen, and I'll go through them in just a minute. First is what we're going to be talking about today, because there is a new anointing for this. Let me give you an introduction. We've been talking about, over these past months, the removal in the understanding of the moral compass in this nation. How many know what a compass is? It keeps you going in the right direction. How many know when you take away the compass, what you're doing is meandering around, and a person that doesn't have a compass is a person who is lost. A nation that does not have a compass is a nation that's lost. And we've also, along with that moral compass, which means the morals, the things that morals, you know what I'm talking about. Also, there has been a reformulating of the principles in which this nation has been built upon. We have been built on one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for some. How many know that's not the case? How many know it says under God? Under God. Well, they're trying and have been trying everything they possibly can to remove that state. One nation, indivisible. How many know that under God is important? How many know for those who do not want to know about God's way or to confirm or anyway try to acknowledge God's way, we want to remove that. And you know, when we move it, then everything's okay, right? God went away. So therefore, we can have a happy day. Let me just tell you, are we having fun yet? When you look what's going on. So there has, and the Constitution, which is the richest, most foundational principle of which any nation has ever been built on. That's why the United States is so great. And now we're seeing that they're saying that the Constitution of the United States is antiquated. Well, let me tell you something. The forefathers who were seeking God sought for the understanding of that Constitution and has kept us for 200-something years into the nation we are. Now we're trying to remove that from the principle. What happens when the rules and regulations, like I talked about last week, you take the middle line out of this freeway, what you have is an accident in the making. So along with that, There's also a redefining foundational structures such as the family, such as authority, and such and also religious freedoms. Let me just get ready, folks. Get you ready just in case it happens. There is legislation on the books right now that is trying everything it possibly can to keep the donations to the churches, especially the Christian churches, to no longer be tax-free. This is not a financial seminar, by the way. It's a spiritual seminar. Now, what happens? And I'm not going to, you answer your own question. What happens if that which you gave to the church is no longer tax deductible? That sort of puts the rubber on the road or the something to the grindstone. Am I doing this for a tax deduction? Yeah. And that's the way that our nation was set up, so that we as the church could receive finances so that we could be the church, help people, and feed the poor, and do all the things, supply for the family, help the structure, let there be unity, do the teaching, and all that kind of stuff. That's part of community. That's all part of what the church is all about. I was the head of the Pastoral Association for Santa Clara Valley. And it was a wonderful position to be in. Many pastors and scores and scores of churches, they were all part of this. When City Hall ran out of money, what did they do? They came to the churches. And we had meetings with the mayors and all that. Will you help us, they said. Of course, that's our calling, to help, to feed the poor, to help those that are drug addicted, to counsel those who are going through all kinds of things. I got a nice plaque. Yes, we're going to do this. We'd have done it anyway. But what happened was the government now had run out of money, so consequently, what was happening, they went to the church. Outside of that, the sad thing that's been happening today is we've been taxing people to get more money so that the church becomes irrelevant. We get more, let the government take care of you. Let the government, and if you don't understand that, then come and talk to me. But what's happening in that process, everything is being redefined. And I started off this series a long time ago. We're not in Kansas anymore, folks. And neither can we wink at what's going on and say, oh, well, amen or oh me. That's not loud enough. We recognize that we are not dealing with philosophies moving from antiquated. That's what you think about things the old way. Antiquated approaches to life evolving into more free thinking. You know, you're closed-minded. Someone come up to me and say, I'm closed-minded. You say, you bet I'm closed-minded. I'm closed-minded on what works according to God. Oh, no. That's of the past. And what you're dealing with right now is you've not stepped into the 21st century. And somehow there's a put down because we hold to structures, that we hold to what God says. But that's small-mindedness. You're not modern thinking. We're dealing with a growing influence and a manipulation by the spirit of the enemy. Extremely important that we understand. It's encroaching into every area of our lives. That spirit of the enemy into our families, into education, into the church, into government, and into human behavior. How many people know what I'm talking about? These things, every area of our culture has been inundated with the spirit of the enemy to redefine it. What's happening in education today? I mean, there's truths. The history of this United States are totally removed from the schoolroom, the books, completely rewritten. The whole areas of government, now the manipulation of government, they become the one that control. It's not by the people, it's at the people. And what's happened, when you look at human behavior, I still can't get past, I will not get past the single bathroom deal. But that's okay. And if a person feels like a woman or a lady, a woman, I don't know what, ladies, you fill in the blank, whatever you want to use, today, then she has the right, he has the right to go into, if depends on if it's a he or not, you know, this is politically incorrect, but I'm telling you, that's what's happened to this nation. We've become politically correct. And I don't want a lady in my bathroom. And I'm sure you don't want a man in your bathroom. And I certainly don't want a man or a kid in my granddaughter's bathroom or their sports showers and stuff. Well, if that particular person decides that I'm going to be a man because that's what I'm doing today, then you can go into the men's bathroom. And it's okay. And if you say something, you're a bigot. You're wrong, you're a hater, you're all of that. And here we are, 1 to 2%. 1, maximum 2%. Everybody say 2%. They are literally manipulating this whole nation. We used to be for the little people, or the ones that the minorities. Didn't that sound good? We're for the minorities. We want to make sure that the minorities are not overridden by the majorities. But what's happened is the minorities are now dictating to the majorities. And now I have to believe in the things that they want that is against what we believe in. What happened? The moral compass has been taken away. And who is responsible for that? Those nasty people in Washington, D.C. May I have your attention, please? You may not like it, but I'm going to at least try to convince you about it. The Word says that at the end times, there's going to be an attack on structures that have been established by God. In the end times, every structure that God has set up is going to be under attack. And let me tell you something also. How many know, was it Proposition 8? Right? How many know that 80% of the Californians voted against Proposition 8? I'm not going to say what it is. How many know 80% is bigger than 20%? How many know that the 20% won? That whole process of where life is established is what God says, because He's the creator of life. And I don't have to get into that scenario or that conversation, because we know that. And if you do come against it, you're a hater and you're a bigot and you're against women. I mean, you know, we're not against women. All the guys say, we love women, right? Without them, we wouldn't be here. The whole process is being taken out of our hands. Before every move of the Lord, there are two major things that happen. Number one, the spirit, and the negative side, the spirit of rebellion against God increases. It's called the spirit of Antichrist. Before every move of God, two characters. The first thing, there is a mighty move against God's people. Do you know who I've talked about. You know who the people, the most persecuted group today on the face of this earth is? The Christian. Go figure. That's why other religions can do their thing. But Christians, don't you bring a Bible, don't you wear a cross, we can't say God, and all that. Be still. You know why? Because, first of all, a lot of people, they say this, that because the Christians are nice and they'll just say, okay, we don't want to cause any problems. But that's not the reason. The reason why is they know that we are the most powerful. The enemy knows, not them. The enemy knows that we are the most powerful entity on the face of this earth. And with God's anointing in our lives and upon us and the vision and the understanding of the ministry that we have, the kingdom of God, we will defeat every power of hell. And that's what's happening. That's what we're in the main. The first one, the spirit of the God increases. And the second thing that happens is the church becomes powerless and ineffective. Now, I'm a pastor. I love the church. We're part of shepherding the church. But when we look across this nation, we have no one else to blame. No one else. We can't blame. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. So you can't, you've heard me say it many times, you can't defeat a spirit in the flesh. You can't defeat the powers of the enemy using religion. And we see what's happening in this nation today and the deterioration process. It's because the church has become not only ineffective, but a non-entity. Now, if this is too hard for you to hear, it's not too hard for you to hear here. For some of the ones online, listening online, that might be the case. But who is the one that Jesus said, I want you. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to talk about this in just a moment. The church has become powerless. When we begin to experience these things, the Lord is preparing a mighty move by His Spirit upon the church. He can't move any way else than the church. Let me say that again. He can't. Of course, He is omnipotent and omniscient, and He can do whatever He wants to. But He has chosen to move through those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. We are the army of God. And you know what happened? He's not going to go. There might be some little picadillos or little things that happen that outside of it using the weird situation to have. But the basic establishing the kingdom of God comes to through the bride. And you know what happens if the bride does not engage? Two things. The power of the enemy gets stronger. That encroachment becomes status quo. As you can see, the deterioration that we're at right now from years ago. And secondly, God has to wait for another generation. A generation typically is 40 years. When there was a downward spiral, how many know that let me just, take a chance? I'm going to take a chance with this example. How many know that, is it okay if I use weight? I'm going to use it anyway. And I'm going to use it because it rubs, right? All of us are in shape and all that kind of stuff and good stuff. All right. Let's say that you are at your optimum weight. And all of us, and you're working at it, right? And all of a sudden, you know, it's a holiday season or whatever it might be. And the next thing that happens is you look at the scale and there's 15 pounds maybe. Let's just take 15 pounds. It's not happened to anybody here, but and you know, you're just overwhelmed in circumstance and the situation that all of a sudden that 15 pounds, well, it's not that bad, right? You know, I mean, it becomes the status quo. And what happens is if you're not, well, I'm not watching it like I used. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, 30 pounds. I feel terrible, but, you know, that's the way it is. And 30 pounds more become the status quo. We get used to it. We don't We don't exercise as long, or we don't quantify or qualify our food, and it becomes natural. I'm not going to go on beyond 30 pounds, but it happens, doesn't it? It's like I say that we, so many Christians, will be satisfied by sitting on the least painful pointed rock of life. Oh, that's not that bad. And all of a sudden we get used to it. How many know that can cause problems physically? The Spirit of the Lord comes upon the church and brings the anointing to defeat the enemy, to establish the kingdom of God, and to know how to defeat the enemy. Let me say, to know how to defeat the enemy is essential. Jesus walked into the scene, and the first thing he did was drove out any of the demonic activity. Because you know why? It's like building a fence. I remember going up to Israel, and they build fences out of rocks. They have more rocks. Someone said, one of the Israeli guides said, the angels were carrying rocks from one end of the world to the other, and they got over Israel and dropped them. And they built all fences by these incredible rocks. Well, to keep animals in, to keep lines of delineation. But what would happen, so if they, in the process of building, the animals would knock the walls down. And they come back and have to build them again. And then knock the walls down again, have to build them again. Let me tell you, that's a perfect picture of the way the enemy does. If we don't structure, if we don't fortify, then the enemy can come in and just knock the wall. And that's happened so many times in your life, in my life. Right? You set up something, you start good for a while, and the next thing you know, what? Where am I? What am I doing here? And that can happen for a nation too. Knowing how, two things, defeating the power of the enemy, establishing the kingdom of God. That's where, the second thing is where the signs and the wonders take place. Jesus defeated the powers of the enemy and then established the kingdom of God. That's never changed. That's the way it is. The first thing you do, and the things that I've had to deal with, in order to have someone to be able to accept Christ, to be able to accept the position, first of all, we had to set them free. And I've had, by the way, and the reason why this is so important, let's see what my next thing is. The next thing we're going to look at is defeating the powers of the enemy in your ministry in the end times. The reason why this is so important, let me tell you a quick story. After the transition from, as I was pastoring in a very large church, there was a transition, and I was asked by Ed Savosa, who has the ministry of Harvest Evangelism, tremendous ministry nationwide, but the major focus of their ministry was in Argentina. And he asked me to consider taking over director of operations for him. And I was in between things. So I said, you know, I'm open for whatever the Lord has. And he said, but the first thing you have to do is you have to go down to Argentina. Now, I lived all over the world, but I didn't know where Argentina was. I heard about it. And he says, our major office is in Buenos Aires. Well, by the way, that's an awesome place. I could live there. It's like a European city in South America. Awesome. But a far place from this place. So I go there, and he said, the reason I want you to go down is meet the staff. But we have been for the last 3 years being involved with a major move of the Holy Spirit in a number of the major towns in Argentina. For 3 years, we have had a campaign. And I want you to come down at the end of the last 2 weeks of the culmination of the of the conference in a town called Resistencia. How many know what that means? Resistance. Cindy Jacobs, who was a good friend, she is tremendous intercessor. She was on yesterday on the at the conference yesterday. She has a ministry called Generals of Intercession. And Ed Savosa and all of the Argentine Christians brought her and her team to find out where the major point of demonic activity was in Argentina, because they are going. It was communist and all kinds of things, and Perón and all those. So there was a window of opportunity where the government was not overriding. So Cindy Jacobs and her team came in, and they discerned. They watched, and the Lord revealed to them that the capital of the where the seat of the enemy, for years and years and scores, and I don't know how many years, was in Resistencia. Well, for 3 years, they had a campaign. The first year was to do something, and I'll tell you. The second year was to bring reconciliation to all the pastors. And the third year was and let me back up. They had the whole town of 500,000 people, everyone in the town except for a denomination that starts with a C. They didn't want them there, which is okay. And what had happened was everybody on Friday night, can you imagine this? Every Friday night, a number of pastors would get together and begin and minister to all of the homes by way of radio. They would have one person, and it was like the home group ministry, but it was like the conquering or saving your block. One person would be put in a block situation, be trained, and they would invite all the people in the block on Friday night, and they would listen to the ministry of the gospel all over. 500,000 people unified, pastors ministering, and there was great divisions. And at the end of that third year, we were there to go through the process. It's been written up in Charisma magazine, and let me speed up the story here. Just tremendous stuff. So we're out every night. The last week we were there, 20,000 people at least in an open field standing up. And when the evangelist came on, and it was massive, the thing that I really loved, all these ladies that were intercessors, they would be, and you're talking about a big field with 20,000 people, so we're not talking about backyard. But these ladies would stand, they were dressed in black with white aprons, and they'd stand facing the crowd while the evangelist was speaking, and they'd be interceding through the whole time. Through the whole time. There were people under the platforms and ministering, interceding, and all that kind of, like, powerful stuff. And what would happen, there was, I don't like ministering to people through a translator. I don't mind preaching through a translator. I don't like ministering and standing in line with, I'm praying for a person, and you got to have back and forth, and timing, you know. The translator, by the way, is the key to ministry. And if the translator is good, then you're, if the translator's not bad, forget about it. Throws off the timing, throws off everything, and some of them can preach better than the preachers. But what was happening in this process? They found something very, very important. The head man was Carlos Anacondia, and his major ministry for the Church of Jesus Christ was to bring new understanding into spiritual warfare. There were understanding. Let me just tell you quickly what happened. We were there in this, Pat and Ann were there, and we had, I mean, thousands of them, many, many pastors. It was a big to-do. And we had like five American pastors there, and I was one of them, and like we were, oh, pastor this, pastor that. And yes, that's what I said. So what happened is, We're standing there in ministry. It would be interesting. I'd watch what happened. The pastor, the evangelist would go and begin to minister, and he'd minister coming against the powers of the enemy, and people inside the thousands, as you can imagine, way back, couldn't see the end. They'd have these great big Argentines, and they would be standing, and all of a sudden someone would start crying out because the demon possessed or whatever it was. They'd start screaming and growling, and these big Argentines would go in there and grab them and then bringing them into this great big circus, not as big as a circus tent, but a big tent. What happens when the gospel is preached, just like what happened with Jesus, the demon spirits begin to call out, "Leave us alone," and they would run in and grab them. And the Lord told me, he said, "I want you to go into the tent." Now, I dealt with the enemy and dealt with exorcism for many, many years. But I said, Pat said, "You want me to come with?" I know you stay out here. I'm going to find out what's going in there. God told me to come in there. He didn't tell you, tell me. I walked in there, and I can tell you stories that would curl your hair. I thought I knew about spiritual warfare. But what I saw for the last and the next four and a half days, I stood, I watched, I learned, I saw. When I walk in, there were eight different situations with rugs. I don't know, rugs. And there were like eight people standing around. There were eight different sections. And what would happen, the people would come in, and they would bring the people that were crying, children, ladies, women, men, teenagers, and they would bring them in, and they drop them off at a particular station, and then they go back out. And they had the gift of exorcism. And I watched, and I learned, and I'll tell you, there were experiences that I saw there. It didn't happen in the United States because it seems to be over. Well, it comes in a different way here in the United States, like some of the stuff that we've been talking about. Now, a lot of people would say, "Well, is that woo-woo and is that vampire and is that all kind?" No. It's talking about the reality. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. He spoke more. Be aware of these things. You need to recognize these things. And I watched situations that were absolutely, I watched the way, we don't like to hear about this stuff. But there are people outside today that you know are, that are being manipulated by the enemy. Let me tell you something. God is greater than the enemy. And over the years, and I say this with all humility, I've become an expert on spiritual warfare. Through the years, I've taught it many, many times because I knew that as we are going to see the renewal process, the revival takes place, we're going to have to deal with this situation. And the reason why there was revival in Argentina, because the first thing that they did, this evangelist rose up and his ministry was dealing with demonic activity, breaking the spirit of the enemy so that the power of the Lord can come in. When someone is bound by the enemy, they cannot hear the Spirit of God. When someone is bound by the enemy, they cannot follow through correctly. And that can be different ways. I'm not talking about just demon-possessed. I'm talking about oppressed. "I don't want to get to church. I'm tired. I'm all these kind. Or did you hear what they say about you?" Or, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to recognize. I heard this yesterday. There's a lot of people that are running. They have things that are crutches, escapes. You know what I'm talking about? You run to the bottle, you run to drugs, you run to all these. And I have people come and say, "Lord, I'm having, or Pastor, I'm having problems with drugs, I'm having problems with pornography, I'm having problems with this." And yet what they say is, I go to the bottle in order to escape. You hear what I'm saying? It's like an escape mechanism. Can't deal with the issue. I have to take pills, or I have to do this. I have to do whatever it might be to escape. Would you pray for me? What's your problem? I take drugs. I'm on alcohol. I can't get free from alcohol. I can't get free from anger. Let me tell you something. That's not an escape. What's happening, these people are running into a prison. That's exactly what the enemy wants. Well, you had a bad weekend or whatever it may, or you had a bad marriage. Let's just get divorced. That's a prison. And people who are alcoholics that say, I can't make it through the day. I'm going to go. I have to take alcohol to be able to escape from what I feel and what's going on. What you're doing, what they are doing, and understand this, and your perspective, what you're doing is you're running into the prison. And the Lord said, the Bible said, the Lord has come to set us free. But there are some people that can't set themselves free. They can't set themselves free. And it's wonderful to be able to say, "The resist the devil and they shall flee, and he shall flee." But I've met hundreds and hundreds of people that don't know how to do that. So that's where we come in. And when I say, when a person is saying, Pastor, I need help in this situation, whatever that might be, whatever that malady might be, the first thing we have to do is to take control over the powers of the enemy, because they can't. Now, this is seemingly a negative thing, but let me tell you something. This is good news. You have to understand, and as you get involved with this, it becomes incredibly, incredibly powerful, because you are a threat to the enemy. And what happens in that process is that person cannot set themselves free. I've tried and whatever. So what happens, God will send someone like you after we train you across their path, and they're saying, I'm bound in this particular area. And what we do is we stand and we understand the process, and I'm going to show you how to minister. And what happens in that process, you say, I stop you, demonic activity, whatever the Lord says, in the name of Jesus Christ. I stop your influence. They can't, the Bible says, resist the enemy and he will flee. They don't know how to resist the enemy themselves. So you have to take on that position, and you take control of that situation, and you go on that to that demonic spirit, whatever it might be, and say, I bind you, I stop you, I resist you, because all resist means I stop you and I neutralize you. And all of a sudden, I've watched. How many know we're going to finish today? Turn to somebody, he's setting you up. I've watched, and I'll just divert to this. I've watched. I'm going to give you three keys next time. Simple, and then I'm going to teach you how to do it. I've taught many, and I love it when they go, Pastor, you can't imagine what happened. I can't imagine. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And I've watched. In this, let me just tell you a story real quickly. At the end, one of the ministry time that I was involved with there on the third day, is it made Charisma magazine. It was so profound. Can't go into all the details, but it was a young girl who fell in love with a boy, man, and she got pregnant, and he didn't want to have any more to do with it. She went to first of all, she's 19 years old, probably 110 pounds soaking wet. Beautiful potential. She looked like 40 miles of bad road when they brought her in. Just stringy hair from sweating. Not dirty. Just dripping wet. And she told the story. When they brought her in, it was just like a limp rag. They brought her in, they start praying for her, and her head went, all the things that you would think of. That stuff, some of it is really real. Not, I've never seen any head spin around, but like at The Exorcist. But I've seen the growls, the red eyes, the incredible strength. This is real. But be of good cheer. And walk through the whole process. It took about 4 hours. 4 hours. And what happened? She went, long story short, she went to a witch, white witch, by the way. I mean, no, there's no such thing as a white witch. A witch is a witch if what their witch, whatever witch there was. She went to a white witch, and she got a vial of perfume. And the white witch said to her that if you put this perfume on you, you will become, your boyfriend will be seduced to come back to you. Well, what happened was she got the perfume, and she said that this is after the fact, after the exorcism. What had happened was she had gone to work with the perfume on, and she said, "You can't believe the men that were coming on to me." It was absolutely incredible. You don't want this. What happens was she stepping outside, this was a potion that was devised by the spirit of the enemy that the white witch didn't know. It really worked. But how many know the enemy's scheme sometimes can work for a while? She began to put this stuff on her. The boyfriend didn't come. She started experiencing mental attacks for suicide. She tried to kill herself by cutting her wrist. She got caught up in every manner of thing. The doctor saying that baby was being harmed. She absolutely, just got in. She started looking for everything to resolve this problem. She kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper until not only was she demon oppressed, she was demon possessed. And we were praying for her and literally growling, crying, then all kind of manifestations took place. And then, one time she called out, "I've been trying to come, I've been trying to come, but he wouldn't let me, they wouldn't let me, they wouldn't let me." And there are many people that are crying out inside that they can't because they've given themselves over to the powers of the enemy. And there are various degrees. "I've been trying to come, I've been trying to come, but they wouldn't let me." Now, that sounds like something from woo-woo land. Well, you know I'm not woo-woo. And in that process, we prayed. And finally, she was set free. And she literally just fell down like a bunch of just rags. And we all sat back because the enemy's, you know, how many know that sometimes an animal acts like it's dead? And the next day, I had a squirrel in my yard. I thought it was dead. Went to go and pick it up by the tail. And almost wet my pants. In fact, I may have. That's one of the things that happens with animals. What they do is they'll fake it. And that's what I say. She finally fell in a lump. And then she stood up. She tried to stand up. The ladies helped her stand up. And she got up, and she was radiant. Her eyes were clear. Her face was glowing. It's like blood came back into her face. She's saying, "I tried so long. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to hurt my baby. I wanted to be free, but I couldn't. Thank you, thank you." She came and she hugged me and just absolutely, I couldn't. But I tell you something also. God will help those people who are even demon-possessed get to a person that can help them, even though the enemy will manipulate for a while. And that person could be you. And I want you to be, as we teach you, to be so confident in what it means to walk out in the highways and byways and say, I don't have to fear the enemy. I don't have, my family doesn't have to fear the enemy. I don't have to deal with these situations and pulling back and all this kind of stuff, because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. And I know that the blood, and I'll tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ covers me and protects me and my family. And when I send my grandkids out and when I send my kids out, I pray the Lord protection be upon them. The blood of Jesus Christ cover them. And I know in my spirit, man, that God is going to back up what he said in his word. And I fear not, for I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you, the Lord says. And then we become... ready? Demon hunters. How about that? I'm a demon hunter. Nah, but that sounds good. They'll find you. You don't have to hunt them. But who else can set them free? No psychologist, no doctor, no self-help, no food program, nothing. It won't. But Jesus Christ can. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? Amen. Part one. How many want to hear more? Bow with me. Father, thank you again that where the Spirit, Father, of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is safety. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is comfort. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is confidence. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is empowering. Those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And those who understand can teach many. Thank you, Father, for your abounding grace. Thank you that not only do we win, that we have the opportunity to take as many as we can with us. There is a spirit of revival that's brooding this land. And I know, I do, and this church will be a part of it. And we will say that we've been prepared for the kingdom for such a time as this. Now I want you to take a moment and just talk to God.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.